something that's definitely going to help you in the future become much more successful. So, chapter 1, section 1, what you read last night. And again, like I said, that's probably one of the longer sections that you're going to have to deal with as you go along. Again, it was a lot of maps, it was a lot of visuals, a lot of graphics. But what they're trying to explain to you is basically, what do geographers do? Okay. What do you think geographers do? Big picture. What do? Make maps? Yep, that's definitely part of it. What else? Jared?
Study locations.
Study locations? Yep. What about locations? Landscapes? Yep. If you were studying Aberdeen, you might study kind of the plain landscape. What you have going on here for natural features, what else might you study as a geographer? The stuff maybe that might not be quite as straightforward, we know about the maps. What we don't think about as much is some of the other things that geographers do. They also study culture. They also study how people interact with their environment. Okay? They do a lot more things probably than we typically think of. We think of geography, we think of a map like that. Okay? We don't always think about exactly what that map is telling us. If you look at this map right here, this is actually a pretty good example. You get a bunch of different things. One thing you get is, yes, you get country boundaries. Okay. You get country boundaries. They tell you basically political boundaries, right? Man-made stuff. There's no such thing as an actual boundary to see in between Libya and Algeria. If you go out in the desert, you're not going to see a line in the sand. It's not actually there. It's a human-made thing. But yeah, it'll give you country boundaries. It'll tell you where cities are. Okay. What else does it tell you? What else is going on? Kate just talked about one part of it. Landscapes. We've got mountains over here. It tells you where the mountains are. What is this brown indicator? Dry or desert. What is the green indicator? A little bit wetter. Okay, a little bit more vegetation. What do you think these guys are? These red lines. It's okay if you don't know. This is not something you would necessarily know. These are shipping routes. Okay, they go between different port cities, main shipping routes, getting goods from place to place. These are all different things that are included in maps that maps tell us. So while, yes, geographers make maps, they're involved, they work with maps, they're involved in all kinds of different information. Okay? We're going to see that kind of as we go along here. So starting out, some of the different terms you need to be familiar with, for example, is inside the field of geography, you have people that are cartographers, which they make maps. A cartographer makes a map. This is something that's changed quite a bit. If you go back hundreds of years, people would have been drawing out maps by hand, something that you will do in this course. Today, they use computers. Like everything else, they've moved into the computer age. Okay. So they use software. They're able to churn out maps a lot faster, a lot more accurate, a lot cleaner, okay, than you would have been able to in the past. So a cartographer makes maps. That's one part of geography. Different facets of geography. What geographers are intending to do, what a cartographer might be intending to do, is kind of a tough task. What is this guy right here? It's a globe. Yep. What's the difference between the globe right here and that big wall map back there?
This one's 3D,
three-dimensional, round, has three dimensions. That one's two-dimensional, right? It's flat. Okay. So when a cartographer wants to make a map, they have a bit of a challenge because they have to take the world, which is round, and make it into something that is flat and usable. Okay, because we can't carry around globes all the time, right? If you want a travel map, you've never seen somebody buy a rental car or rent a rental car and drive around like this with a globe, right? They have a travel map of some sort, a map of Aberdeen, a map of South Dakota, or whatever. Okay? Globes are kind of difficult to deal with. Okay? So one of the main things that cartographers have to do is they have to create maps, which are a symbolic representation of all or part of the planet. So they have to take that round thing, the Earth,
and turn it into a flat thing. I'm at.
Now in doing that, this is where it gets kind of tricky and kind of weird and kind of hard.
Okay.
They have to flatten out that the surface of the earth and turn it into a flat thing. Okay, so they have to take something that is curved and turn it into something that's flat, which is something we call projection. And the best way, I think, to remember this is imagine peeling an orange. Have you ever tried to peel an orange in one piece without breaking it apart? Have you ever tried to peel all of an orange and keep it just in one, the peel in one piece? If you do that, if you peeled an orange in one piece, imagine this is an orange. Imagine this globe here is an orange. And you peel off the peel, okay? You peel off the peel, and you've got this big peel like this. If you take that peel, you lay it down here on the table, and you flatten it out, that's what a cartographer is doing. They're taking the shell of the earth or the peel of the earth, and they're flattening it out. But what happens with that? Things get all squished, right? Because the peel is normally round. It gets all squished, it gets distorted. That's why when we project out maps, that you'll see lots of different maps, especially in your book, that look different. Because they're projected in different ways. They're distorted in different ways. So that's map projection. Another term that you might, you will need to know. In fact, it's on your study guide. It's called a great circle root. When you're dealing with something that is round, and this is something that's of a lot of importance to geographers because it's very applicable to the real world, it's very important to know the shortest distance between two places. You know who uses this? If you guys have ever been on a plane, okay, and you're flying a long distance, they don't necessarily fly in what we would think of as a straight or direct route. Now, I don't expect that a lot of you have flown to Spain, but if you took off, say you flew from Aberdeen, you flew into New York City, and then you flew over to Spain, you would not fly in this route, straight across. Anybody think of why?
I mean, so the map's flattened, it gets distorted, so if you want to go the actual, like, straight across on the globe, you would have to kind of curve around
as a pilot or as an airline, you want to use the least amount of gas possible, right? You want to cover the least amount of miles possible. If you're going from, let's see, New York City's right in here, to Spain, okay, if you go straight across, you're kind of hitting the bulbier, larger part of the globe, okay? So if you go straight across, you're going to have to go a little bit farther. Even though this seems weird, if you fly north, and you'll see this, a lot of airlines will give you a map, kind of a virtual map, and they'll show you where you're flying right now, where we are right now, and you'll see a curvature to it. That's because they follow the curvature of the Earth. So they'll actually, typically, if you're in the northern hemisphere, they will fly north to get to where the Earth is skinnier. Because it's actually a shorter distance. If you fly a little bit north, the Earth is skinnier up there. It's not as fat. So the shortest distance, and if I had a string, it would illustrate this perfectly. Okay. A string always finds the shortest distance between two points. If I pulled it taut between these two places, that string would naturally, instead of going like this, would naturally slide up the globe to the shortest point. And I don't have a string. Okay. But that's a great circle root. Okay. Perfect illustration of why geography actually matters, why it's applicable. For airlines, perfect example of how this actually applies in the real world. It's the great circle route. Other concepts that geographers are working with. Location, very important. Location's a tool for answering the question where. Describing the question where. So that's kind of our big concept. Where? Well, we're talking about Aberdeen. Well, where is that? Location, we can say, well, I live in Aberdeen, but that doesn't mean a whole lot unless you can say, locate it on a map. So how do we locate Aberdeen on a map? We'll get back to that in just a second. Some of the different ways that we can determine location on a map are using the grid system. On the map, we have lines of latitude, we have lines of longitude. And it might just seem like it's making the map messy, but it's a way to tell us where things are. By dividing up into the map into chunks, we can use those lines of latitude and longitude, in order to tell us where something is. So that's our grid system. We have our lines of longitude, lines of latitude. You see how they cross over? They create a grid, right? That is our grid system. It's going to help us describe where things are. And I know some of this will be reviewed, and that's good. You'll do better on the test if it's reviewed. Another thing that helps us describe where something is we divide up the Earth not only into the grid system, but we divide it up into hemispheres. Four different hemispheres. This makes it very easy for us to tell, just kind of in general, where something is. We live in, well, basically two different hemispheres. Does anybody know where we live, hemisphere-wise? Northern hemisphere? And the western hemisphere. Yep. So the hemisphere, they divide the Earth into halves, basically. Into a north and a south. This is kind of this is the northern half, the northern hemisphere. This is the southern half, southern hemisphere. They also divide up the Earth into halves, left and right, okay, or east and west. And it runs right through Great Britain. If you go to the west of that line, you're in the western hemisphere. If you go to the east, you're in the eastern hemisphere, okay, until you go all the way around the Earth and those two sides meet. So yes, we're in both the northern hemisphere and the western hemisphere. And you see what I mean? We go through things fairly quickly. You can't just copy everything down word for word, but that doesn't mean you can't get short things down. Part of the grid system I talked about, lines of latitude, are going to help us to describe where things are. They're running. What directions do lines of latitude run? East and west. Yep. 0 degrees latitude splits the Earth in half between the northern and southern hemisphere. Okay. We call that the equator, right? Pretty straightforward. Lines of longitude run what direction? North and south. Yep. North and south, we got to get away from saying up and down, left and right. Lines of longitude run north and south. The prime meridian is the line that I just talked about that runs through Great Britain that divides the Earth into eastern hemisphere and the western hemisphere. Okay, runs right through Great Britain. Okay, that is 0 degrees longitude, or the prime meridian. We live on the western side of that line, therefore we live in the western hemisphere. And one of the reasons, if I can get this thing to move, come on, fella. One of the reasons before we go on that it's important to get away from saying left and right, up and down, and stuff like that, is that direction gets kind of subjective. For example, when we look at a map, we're on, in the northern hemisphere, in North America, we're on top, right? We're in the northern hemisphere, we're on top. You always see maps like that. You always see us on top. You always see globes like this, with us on top. What if I did this? We're not on top anymore, right? We're on the bottom. Could we do this? Could we have globes be upside down like this?
Yeah.
Sure, why?
We're just floating in space.
We're floating in space. We're floating in nothingness. This is not any more incorrect than that is, than that typical map. Having, this is no more incorrect. In fact, I'm going to leave my globe upside down for the rest of class. Because it's not upside down. That's a perfect globe. It's just not how we typically look at it. Okay. And surprise, surprise, if you think about historically who made the first maps, well, people in Europe. People in Europe made the first maps, were the first cartographers. Where did they put Europe? On top. Why wouldn't you want to be on top? Right? Cool people are on top. There's all kinds of different theories with that, but like I said, we're floating in space. It doesn't really matter. Looking at our grid again, why we need the grid, why it helps us determine location. If you say, I live in Aberdeen, and somebody doesn't know where it is, and you say, go look at a map, you got to be able to guide them to Aberdeen, right? Well, there's different ways you can do that. One way is you can give them the absolute location. You can tell them what line of latitude you're on and what line of longitude that crosses, and if they can find those two, they can find Aberdeen. Okay? That's your absolute location. Your line of longitude, and latitude, where they cross. So that's one way that you can describe where something like Aberdeen is. Absolute location. What we do, we already talked about that. It's not what I want to talk about right now. I already talked about that. Let's skip ahead a little bit. What we do a little bit more, I think I have a slide missing. What we do a little bit more is we use relative location. If you were to describe where Aberdeen was to a friend, would you say, oh, it's, you know, 36 degrees north latitude, 90 degrees west longitude? Would you say that? No. How would you describe to a friend where Aberdeen is?
Northern part of South Dakota.
How else might you say it? How else might you describe where Aberdeen is?
What it's by.
Yeah, what it's by. You might say, for example, it's northwest of Minneapolis, right? That's what we do a lot. It's called, geographers call it relative location, and it's going to come up later in the slides here. It's called relative location. That's one type of location that we use a lot. That's one kind of location that geographers work with, is relative location. Okay. Well, it's northwest of this. It's west of Lake Superior. If you know where Lake Superior is, you can find Aberdeen. You just go kind of straight west and maybe a little south. Okay. That's relative location. Different types of location that we use. Okay. When we read a map, in order to know how to read a map, we need to know what's on the map to help us interpret all the different information that we're going to have on here. Okay? What you're going to have on a map, on most maps, you're going to have a title. It's going to tell you what kind of information that map is showing. Title on my map is right here, right? The world. Shows it all. Okay. So the title is going to tell you, like the title of a book is going to tell you a little bit of probably about what that book is about. Okay. The title of a map is going to tell you what that map is showing. It might show the whole world. It might show just South Dakota. It might say map of South Dakota. It might say map of Aberdeen. It might just show the city of Aberdeen. Okay. After the title, you're usually going to have a key as well. A good map is going to have this. A key is going to list and explain the symbols, colors, lines used on the map. You might hear it called a key, you might hear it called a legend. Either one is fine. Let's see, on my map, we have a legend down here. It's going to tell you a little bit about what the different colors mean. It's going to tell you what the different lines mean. It's going to tell you what the different dots mean for cities. It's going to explain what all the different symbols on that map means. So you can get lots of different information out of that map. You're also going to have a scale bar. Scale bar is going to tell you, well, this inch right here, how far is this? How far is it from here to here? Well, to me, it's, you know what, it's about a foot. Okay, but we know it's not really a foot. This is representing all of the Earth. We know that's probably actually more like 1,000 miles. Okay. The scale bar is going to tell you that inch or that foot represents oh so many miles. Okay. It's going to tell you what the scale is. And then you're going to have the compass rose, which you probably never heard it called that before. But compass, you can kind of understand what that might mean. It's going to give you your four directions, north, south, east, and west. Okay. I'm going to stop for 1 second.